Okay, so today is September 13, 2017, and we're revisiting lesson number 19, preparation for clock, including the ribs. So again, if you go to the website, we've done this lesson before. I will have the date next to it, and the title will read a little differently, okay? So go ahead and lie on your backs. Take a moment to observe how you're making contact with the floor. So the first thing that we do is start to get aware of ourselves. And for those of you that are new, what we've been working on is putting two dots behind each shoulder blade and two dots in the center of each buttocks cheek. And then you connect these dots and you make a rectangle. And that rectangle is your torso or your trunk. Okay? And then to expand from that visual image that you have of yourself is the upper two corners, right, is where we have the arm sockets. So we've been learning a lot in here about a socket and how the ball of the humerus fits in the socket. And then at the bottom of the rectangle, right, coming out of the pelvis are your two hip sockets. So you got four sockets. And why is this important? Because the trunk moves around the sockets, or I should say the balls, right? So the trunk, which houses the sockets, moves around the ball joints, and then the ball joints can move inside the sockets. Okay, so we're going to continue to explore your movement availability within that. Does that make sense to everyone? So for those of you, again, that are new, what the visualization does is it helps you draw a different kind of awareness and attention to yourself, to have clarity about parts of yourself that perhaps, if I just said lie on your back and notice how you feel, I don't know, what does that mean? So right now you should be noticing the four dots, the rectangle, and the sockets. And then within that, you ask yourself some questions. How even do I feel? Everybody always wants to compare, right? Left and right. Does one side feel higher? Or maybe it's one side feels lower. One side might feel, or one leg longer or shorter, right? One side of your rib cage, one side of the rectangle, might feel shorter or scrunched up. So now you're comparing and examining your relationship to the floor based on this imagery. And it's just information, not to correct, not to change, but just to notice and become aware of yourself. Every day and throughout the day, you're always different. And then from here, you're going to slowly and gently roll your head to the left and to the right, noticing the quality in which you roll your head to each side. Nice. And then lastly, you're going to bring some attention and awareness to your breath and your breathing. And again, without changing anything, you're just observing your inhalation and your exhalation. Okay, and so from here, you're going to begin with bending your knees, bringing your feet to standing. And for those of you that aren't here, haven't been here, and for those of you that have, just a refresher, we're going to create a clock, right, under your pelvis. I like to put a clock on the ceiling. Okay? So, if you can bear with me with the directions, if it really is difficult for you, you can change them. But I put 12 o'clock where your lower back is. So if I was looking at a clock at the ceiling, 12 o'clock would be where my eyes are. And then I think of 6 o'clock down where my tailbone and pelvis is. And then if that's the way that I'm looking at a clock, 3 o'clock would be to the right, where the right hip is, and 9 o'clock to the left. Okay, so we're first going to do the direction of moving towards 12, so that means flattening your lower back. And that's the area right behind where the belly button is on your backside. So some of you might think your lower back is where your waistline is, right? It's a little higher than that. So you flatten. And then you're going to go to 6 o'clock, which is sitting on the tailbone. So you create an arch with your lower back and your pelvis to sit on your tailbone. And then you're just going to explore gently and slowly, going back and forth. Right? So you go from flattening to arching. And this is all happening with a little bit of oomph, we'll say, with your feet. There is no per se lifting. You're rolling the pelvis to arch and sit on the tailbone and then flatten the lower back. Now, a couple of you, you're so good at doing this. You're too good. So I don't want you to go that far. You need to work on that direction. So my guess is you have some lower back issues.
No?
Good. So you really want to go only go to about there.
Okay?
Yeah, that's how you blow a disc. And then there, excellent. So you flatten and you arch, 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And a little more, come onto the tailbone, more, there you go. And what you'll feel from these two directions, is it okay I touch you? I should have asked. Yeah, it's okay.
Say that again.
Is it okay I touch you?
Yes, oh yeah, yeah.
Sorry, should have asked. It's kind of automatic, there you go. So as you go back and forth between 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, just notice that your head and your cervical spine is doing the same thing. Beautiful. Now come to the center of the clock, which is your resting place, neutral. And now we're going to explore 3 and 9. So this is where you begin to think of the sockets that house the balls, right? Because we're going to move the sockets. Right, so you're going to think of bringing the right side down, pressing 3 o'clock into the floor. And as you do that, the left side, 9 o'clock, just comes up. It's like a teeter-totter. What comes up, the other side goes down. And then you're going to come back through the center and bring the left side down and the right side up. But your legs don't move. See? Your legs are the ball joints. You keep your legs steady. So now you take your pelvis and you move your pelvis around. So that's moving the sockets around the pelvis. Easy. And you don't have to do it that big. That's it. Excellent. Very good. Very good. Right. And this is usually the hardest concept for people because they've been doing everything with the ball joint instead of moving the socket. That's it. So remember, your knees stay pointed towards the ceiling. That's it. Okay, now come back to center. Okay, so I'm going to describe the next movement. And I'd like you to visualize it first before getting started. Okay? So you're at the center, so you're going to have to come up to 12 o'clock, which means that you would flatten the lower back. And then you're going to go to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and then 3 o'clock. And at that point, your back starts to arch when you're on the right side, because then you're going to go 4, 5, 6, where you're in the center, completely arched, sitting on the tailbone. Then over to the left, 7, 8, and you start to flatten at 9. And then flatten 10, 11, and back up to 12. So it's really important that you have the image of the clock. Slowly and gently begin your clock. And what's super important as you do the clock is really to get tuned in and aware of the numbers that you want to skip. We all want to skip numbers. And that is the indication of where something is a little challenging for you.
Yes, so let your feet be a little, you like to use your legs. So over there, there you go, and then start to round up and come to 12, flatten. There you go, and then come over to this side. Yeah, there you go. And then come to, beautiful. Beautiful.
Right, I'm gonna use my leg.
Right?
Yeah.
This is really foreign for you.
Yeah.
That's it. So as you continue the clock, draw into your awareness, right? That your trunk, right? The rectangle? The ribs are starting to move. And this is where we're going with the lesson today, right? So the ribs are also, in a way, making a clock. Okay? So you just keep on having these things in your awareness. It's a lot of things to have in your awareness. Quiet those legs. Better. Excellent. Okay, come back to pause in the center. We're going to do one more thing and then we'll take a rest. So you're going to reverse the clock. So you're going to start at 12 and then go over to the left, to 9, down to 6, and then over to the right to 3. Right? And really pay attention to your legs. So again, when your legs want to get involved, pause and bring it back to the pelvis and the rib cage. Right, that your trunk, right? I've spoken so much about the key to everything is this mobility in your trunk. It's moving the sockets around the joints. Beautiful. And then take a rest. So lengthen your legs, arms, and straighten your legs and rest. So I'm going to tell you a story why it's so important. Besides, it's what creates your overall functioning. Right? Your trunk is what really creates and initiates your movement. Your legs and your arms carry it out. Whether it's reaching, lifting, walking, sitting. Okay, so from here, what we did last week, we're going to weave in for a moment. So again, for those of you that weren't here, we'll just start to introduce these movements to you. So you're going to start with both legs, and what we worked with is turning the outside of your edges out, bringing the inside of your edges together, and sliding your feet up, so to speak, towards your crotch. Your knees are displayed out to the side, and then you're going to straighten them again. So just do this movement a few times to get familiar with turning the feet out, letting the knees open, drawing the feet up. Yep.
Excellent. So the next time that you bring the legs up like this, you're going to keep them there. Okay? Now here's where you need to be careful. If you start to get fatigued in this position, feel free to straighten your legs, take a break, and then come back to the movement. Don't take a break and not return to the movement. But this can be fatiguing, okay, in the groin. Okay, so from here, you're going to start to explore 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Okay, so it gets a little harder because now we've turned the joints inside the sockets out. It's harder to use the legs now, right? So you really can't engage the legs. So it really requires your pelvis to do the movement. And we've repositioned the ball joints in the sockets. Everybody got that? So again, do 12 and 6. Beautiful. Okay, why don't we take a little rest, straighten the legs. Okay, so bend the legs again. Come back to it. This time you're going to do 3 and 9, right? The right and the left. Now, as you move, again, you're moving the pelvis, the sockets around the joints. The right knee, as you go to 3 o'clock, will come closer to the floor, and the left one will lift up. And then as you go to the left, but minimally. Right? So it's, again, the pelvis, the sockets moving around the joints. That's it. Now again, in the back of your mind, in your visualization, you're sensing and feeling how the ribs are moving. So when you go to the right, the left side of the rib cage comes up and scrunches. When you go to the left, that's what happens, right? Excellent. Let's take a little break. Straighten the legs. I don't want to keep you there too long. Okay, let's come back to it. And now you're going to begin your clock. So start slow. And again, your visualization of a clock is key. Reaching to go to every number. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3, 4, down to 5 and 6, over to 7, the left side, 8, 9, back up 10, 11, 12. So again, you're really getting involved now, your entire trunk. Even the upper part, right, where the shoulders are and the joints for the shoulder, right? The sockets up there are moving around the arms. So the pelvis initiates the movement. Right, but you just feel the rippling effect of the rib cage in the trunk. Are we good? Are we breathing? Excellent. Okay, let's take a break. Pause. okay, let's come back to it. And this time you're gonna go counterclockwise, right? So you're gonna start at 12 and go to the left. Over to 9, and from 9 down to 6, over to the right. Again, noticing your breath and your breathing. It's always interesting to observe which direction of the clock feels easier. You might have a strong habit of wanting to turn more frequently one direction than the other. Beautiful. Okay, let's rest again. Okay, so now we're going to come up to a sitting position. So legs first are long, bring yourself up to sitting. You're going to lean on your palms. Always, always, always remember, so I don't have to say it again, your fingers are always pointed forward. If you turn your hands the other way, you lock out your elbows and you'll break a shoulder. Good to know. So fingers forward so your elbows can bend. Now from here, bend your knees out to the side and bring the feet up. Yep, okay. So let's just introduce 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So round and then arch. Okay, so the movement stays with the pelvis. Okay, and all your elbows are doing is they're there to bend. Okay, so some of you are really leaning back here. Okay, not good. Okay, so you're light on your hands. When you come back, there's a little more weight on the heel of your hands, and then you bring your belly forward. So much when you sit to the tailbone and your sit bones, the hands really don't need to be there, right? So please don't be here, okay? Lighter with your hands, okay? So forward and back. And then you feel now we're getting the core involved. So when you come to 6 o'clock, the ribs come forward, your core is engaged. When you go back to 12 o'clock, right, your core is still engaged, right? You want your core engaged so you don't go to your hip flexors, but you're more folded in the rib cage. So you're expanding and you're folding. And again, there's light pressure on your hands. There's going to be another movement where you can put more pressure, but right now you want to focus on, that's it, the pelvis. Are we good? Okay, do you think you can start to go into a clock? Can you go over to 3 o'clock and then start to go to 6 and then come over to 9 and back to 12, right? And this is where you really get the sense that the rib cage is making a nice big clock with you, right? So in this clock, once again, you are moving the four sockets around the four joints. Okay? Beautiful. Excellent. Now, you're just going to reverse the circle, so you can do that anywhere along the circle. You're just going to go counterclockwise, change the direction. Make sure you're breathing. I think we're holding our breath right now. That's it. So really let your back round and feel the core.
And then even when you push the belly forward and you lengthen, your core is engaged the whole time. Yes? You guys feeling that? If the core quits engaging, you will feel it in the hip flexors. That means rest the legs. Okay, so let's rest. Tell you my little story. So go ahead and lie on your back. So I get pain. I've had this weird, you know, when I couldn't sleep at the 4th of July and I took an Advil PM and I woke up and I could hardly, something, and I thought I pinched a nerve and stuff. So I exhausted all possibilities. I tried some massage, I got some work on, right? And no matter what, when I sat, it was like this burning in my butt, in my hip, right? So 2 months down the road, I'm like, so one of my clients has a great doctor that she sent me to. Amazing doctor, love this guy. So I had to drive all the way to South Jordan, but he's an orthopedic specialist and she's gonna get both knees replaced and he does cortisone injections. So I go there and he doesn't even come in and talk to me, but his PA does. And they're just like, we're just gonna rule out, this is how every doctor should work. We're just gonna rule out all possibilities. Because they're looking at me and they're like, you're unbelievably flexible. You know, it's like a guessing game. What's causing this burning? And he thought it was like a trigger muscle, like just a knot in my butt, my left side. So he comes back. So they x-rayed my lower back, my hips, my knees. And it was just really nice, right, to have somebody just go, let's not play a guessing game. And he comes back in the room. And so the new people, you don't know me, so back when I was 20, I was hit by a semi-truck. So I've had 11 surgeries on my legs. And he's like, okay. He goes, you have the most amazing joints. You have nothing, no reduction in space in your hips, no disc issues, nothing. And with my knees, even though my knee's been rebuilt, I'm using both knees perfectly. He's like, considering what you've been through, and he's like, what's this work that you do? Right, so this is the important thing, is after what I went through, I learned this work to move the trunk, right? So there's no compromise in my joints. It was really cool to see. So we eliminated all those as possibilities, right? And that was just really good to do, right? Don't you think every doctor should do this? So it's like, now what is it? So I had to go for the next day to get this cortisone injection. And what they do is they do ultrasound. And this doctor is so good that as he's going over and I could watch it, and he had like 5 other doctors in there, right, to watch because this guy's so good. He can call out everything. So they're turning my leg a little bit, and he's like, okay, there's the piriformis. He's like, it always gets the bad rap. And the sciatic, totally fine. It's not that. Then we went to the gluteus max, gluteus medius, everywhere. And these trigger muscles, all good, right? So he's like on the hunt to find it, right? So he starts going down my leg to these other areas, and it's a tendon. Now, tendons are attached to the bone. So it's a tendon along my femur. Right? That's agitated, right? And it's close to the site of where I had my injury. You know, why we have some ideas of why it came on. But anyways, so he went in there and injected it, and it's like, voila! All pain gone. It hasn't returned, right? And tendons take a long time to heal. But anyways, it was a really cool thing to see how great all my joints are from doing this work my whole life. He is like, you have nothing compromised in you. So that was really cool, you know? And it was also really great that somebody knew their stuff instead of playing a guessing game and thinking. Like, it showed up like it was my piriformis, right? But there was nothing radiating down the leg, you know? So, yes, right? So this is what I tell you, where the issue is often very, you know, it's different. And then the body is clenching and doing all kinds of things to compensate. And so often they try to correct the compensations instead of finding the source. So I just thought this guy was brilliant. It was really neat to watch, you know. And it was just good to know, like, all these other things were great, you know. Because at first he was like, oh, I think you're really out of balance and you're two sides. And then when he went in there, he's like, every muscle group is working perfectly. Like, everything. He's like, you really? You know, so it made him interested in this work. Anyways, that's the story. So come back up to city. Now you're going to work harder. Soles of your feet together. Lean on your hands. Remember, fingers forward. So let's just go back to 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And remembering that as you're exploring 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, right, you're engaging your core. So if you were to lift up your hands, right, see, it's really important. You should not be, like, in here. Right, your shoulders. That's how you hurt a shoulder joint, right? So it's the pelvis and it's your core, yes? In both directions. Are we good? Now from here, this is where it gets a little tricky. I'm gonna have you come down onto your forearms, okay? And this is where you really need to stay in your core, because if your shoulders start to come up like this to your ears, you're pressing those ball sockets up high in the joints. So stay. You're waiting on the elbows, very light in the hands. Stay in your core. Can you feel that? So just try it. Shrug. Yeah. Feel how that's yucky? It feels like you just collapse. There you go. Okay. So now, 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock. So you round, and when you round, the knees come up a little bit. And then you push the belly forward and they widen. But throughout this, you feel the core. So if at any moment you start to feel like you sink like this, take a break. Okay? This is not easy stuff. So it's always important when you hit exhaustion, rest. Okay, let's take a break. I can tell some of you are starting to shake and anyways, isn't that a cool story? I was just really impressed. It was really fun to watch on the ultrasound, too, identifying all these muscles. Starts with an O. Can't remember. It's right along my femur and giant trochanter. But I mean, it was so bad. I had to drive my daughter to college, 12-hour drive, you know, and I mean, I was just icy. It was like a hot poker. I mean, it was just lit up. And now it's like as if it was never there. You know, and so, but it makes sense because the tendon, the sheath runs along the bone. And so guess where it's housed? Right? The femur goes inside the pelvis. So it was radiating up to here. Okay, come back up to that position, leaning on your forearms, right? Soles of your feet together, and let's begin our circle. So you're going to start at rounding at 12 o'clock, going over to the right, which is 3 o'clock, arching to 6, over to the left at 9, and back to 12. And this is where you really get to feel your core, your trunk, and your rib cage making the circle. So it's not just the pelvis, but it's the rib cage. And again, when it gets fatiguing, don't try to be strong in here, right? That's not the goal. Just rest. Lay down and rest. Okay, let's all rest. Okay, come up again, same position, and we're going to reverse the clock. So let's start again at 12 o'clock and go to the left, and then over to the left, and then down to 6, over to the right.
Breathe. That's it. Excellent, you guys. Okay, let's take a rest again. Right, so for some of you, this might be like a miraculous thing, right? It's like, oh my God, I've been using my legs so much. So again, kind of the point of my story is, if you overuse the leg, which is the ball in the socket, that's where you grind away the space, because you've got to equally be using the socket with the ball. Does that make sense? No?
Not really.
Yeah, because if the pelvis is really still and this is, but see, if they work like this, right? Okay, let's come all the way back up to just the hands, soles of the feet together. 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and then begin to go into your circle. And again, you're paying attention to, you've got the pelvis and the rib cage. And then you're going to draw into your awareness that somehow your head is making a circle too. It's making a clock. That's it. And whenever you get tired, you rest. Right? So at any moment, you should be able to lift up those hands. Yeah. So that's it, Lynn. Even more forward with your belly. Yes. Not, yeah, belly. Belly. There you go. Even more. I know. There. There. No, yeah. There. Beautiful. Can you change the direction? Make sure you're breathing. Yeah, and so what's kind of fun to do is to change the direction whenever you want. So you start to change the direction when you feel like it. Feeling the ribs make a circle and your head. Yeah, okay, and let's rest. Okay, so from here, let's stay on your back. Bend the knees out, draw the soles of the feet up, and let's just try this position again. So try 12 and 6, and then start to do your clock to the right. And then again, I'm just giving you freedom that you reverse the direction when you feel like it, right? So you do one or two clocks one way, and then you reverse, right? And just notice how the quality of the movement from doing the two positions sitting upright, it's improved, right? The mobility of the pelvis is much freer now, lying on the back. And feel how your head now really makes a clock, right? Like you're really kind of wiggling around on the floor. It's a much larger movement than you started with. So there's a lot to this trunk moving around. Okay, Let it go and rest again. Okay, and from here, let's go back to bending your knees, bringing your feet to stand. Okay, so have that good wide standing place. So don't have your feet too narrow. Your heels are lined up with your buttocks, right? And start by doing 12 o'clock and 6. And again, what you're paying attention to now is the ease, right? The quality and smoothness now of the movement. And how much movement now is happening all the way up to your head. And then introduce the clock to yourself, remembering that your knees stay pointed towards the ceiling, and how much easier it is to move the pelvis around the legs now. Right? What seemed like work before is pretty fluid and easy now. And how the ribs are moving in your head. And then change the direction. Beautiful. Okay. Let it go. Lengthen the legs and rest. Okay, so now we're going to add in a couple more variations just to work with your hips a little bit, weaving into some things for next week. So begin with your right leg. We did this last week. Bend the right knee out to the side and slide the right foot to the crotch and keep it there. And then you're going to bend your left knee to stand. And then you're going to walk the left foot over to stand on the right knee. On top. No, walk the left foot all along the right shin to the right knee. It takes a walk. And then once the left foot is on the right knee, you're going to flare open the left knee. So the sole of the left foot turns up. There you go. Now, how come you guys were just able to sit with your legs open and now you all have your left knee up? My newcomer is the only one figuring it out. Okay, straighten yourself, right? Straighten yourself. Okay, let's go back to this. Bend both knees out to the side, bring the soles up, and look at how much the knee can open. Now, why do you think if the left foot now is on top of the right, that has to change? Okay, lift the left foot up, put it on the right. There you go. Huh?
But then when you walk it up.
It's your own illusion. So keep the ankle on top of the other ankle and start sliding the foot. right? See if you can slide it without compromising the knee. So just do a little bit at a time. Slide it up to the right. Right, so see, Elizabeth, how your left knee is to the ceiling instead of opened up? So don't go all the way up there. Because as soon as you do that, your brain is taken over in the other way. Right?
Brain is strong.
Come back. Put the soles of the feet together. Let's try putting the right foot on top of the left. Just barely put it on top, right? Now change them again. Put the left on top of the right. There you go. Change it again. Okay, now let's keep the right on top of the left. Seems like that might be a little easier. And start to make your clock. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Let it go. Rest. Enough. You have homework. Okay. So I'm going to have you play with this during the week. Explore putting one ankle on top of the other, right? And what can open up inside the hip where it's no longer indifferent. Right, so it doesn't matter. Right on left, left on right, soles of the feet together. You've got it. What's your name?
Neha.
Neha. Do you mind if everybody watches you?
No,
okay, so you guys, let's watch Neha. Because in you, you don't believe it's possible, so let's watch somebody that can do it. There you go. I know you didn't believe
I'm
me.
Skeptical.
Okay, you want to watch me? I'm pretty close to her too, right? So here we are, right? Hence the joint space. In the hip sockets. They looked beautiful. You know, it was really nice at 54 to see that. Okay, rest on your backs. You got homework? I never give homework. It'll inspire you to come back to see what we're gonna do next week with it, right? Okay, so rest on your back and just observe how you feel now in your pelvis, your hips, your ribs. Your spine. Slowly and gently roll your head a little bit to the right and left to see how that feels. And then observing your breath and your breathing. And then as you feel ready, roll to the side. Come to sitting and then standing to see how you feel from this lesson.